Top of Gimel Amud Aleph now. Amar Mar, that we just learned the Shilach Zohar Regel. V'chino Amar Meshachei Regel Hashor V'Hachamor. So right, so we had just said that the pasuk which has Veshilach and Ubir, Veshilach is referring to Regel. How do we know that it's referring to Regel? So we bring a pasuk from Nach that supports it. So says the Gemara, Taima Dekasa Rachamona Meshachei Regel Hashor V'Hachamor. The reason that we know that the pasuk is referring to Regel is because we have the pasuk in Nach that tells us that Veshilach means Regel. But had that not been the case, Halav Hachi, without that, be my Mukmaslav. What that means is if I need to bring a pasuk in Navi in order to define for me what the pasuk in Mishpatim means, that means that I would have at least had another possibility of how I would have explained the pasuk of Veshilach when it appears in Parashas Mishpatim. So we have to figure out what would that have been that we have to bring a pasuk in order to tell us something different. What is that Havamina? Okay. So how would I have understood? So the Gemara says, E Karen Ifyotam, and again, from the context of the pasuk itself, it has to be something that makes sense in the pasuk. So we can't start talking about, you know, sending a boar, a pit out, which is one of the other avos, in the same pasuk that's talking about, you know, the animal going out. So it has to be something shore related. So we said, well, if it's talking about Karen, Siv, we already have Karen. We already have it. That's well sourced. And if it's talking about Shen, Ishen, Ksiv, that's also written. Now you'll tell me, well, Shen also is written plus a pasuk in Nach. So again, later on the Gemara is going to go through the same question when it comes to Shen. But at least we have it already. And if we have it already, so then L'chor, it's not talking about Karen, it's not talking about Shen. What else is left? Regel. And if it's talking about Regel, then why do I need another pasuk to tell me about Enach to teach me that it is referring to Regel? That's the question of the Gemara. Yes?
What if it's not coming to teach you Enach?
What do you mean?
Why do we assume that Shilach has to be teaching about?
Well, it has to be teaching us something. We have to understand what the pasuk. It's a parsha of Nezikin that contains a verb. There's an action that's taking place. So we have to translate the word. It has to be referring to something. And then the Torah tells us what's the result of whatever that verb is. So it has to be, whether you want to call it an av or not call it an av, it has to be referring to an action of Nezik. By definition, an action of Nezek, as written in the Torah, is going to be considered to be an Av. That's what Rashi told us at the beginning. That's the definition of an Av.
I'm just saying, if Rashi is the pasuk, it's like you send your animal. Shilach is as soon as you send it, right?
Right. So what?
You're not really like...
So you're chayav for that. So what? How do we define...
Shia, no? You're negligent, you're...
Is Shia sounds like you're doing something. Shia would maybe if I opened up, I didn't seal my corral.
So the pasuk you're saying means.
Shilach sounds like the person is doing something.
You actually moved your animal into it.
Something like that. That's what it sounds like.
Okay, so you're chayav for your animal's damages.
Okay, it's an ab under the category of shor. How do I define that? Is it Karen? It's not Karen.
And why are we assuming it's under shor?
Is it Chen? Because shor.
It's shor that does it.
Right. Shor is the code word. Shor in the Mishnah, once we said that there are three avos within shor, then shor of the Mishnah is basically saying that there are three avos that are done by a shor. Right? It's not a subcategory in the Avin told us sense. Good. Oh. So that's the question of the Gemara, right? Mostly, that's the question of the Gemara. Rachamim, good?
Yeah.
Oh. So the Gemara was, so what's the Havamina? How would I have learned it differently? Zot the Gemara. It's Drich. No, I need the pasuk in Nach because I would have had a Havamina. What would the Havamina have been if I did not have the pasuk in Nach? So, Kadaitach Amina, I would have said, Idi v'idi, both this and that, Hashem. Both words in the pasuk are referring to Shen. V'hod mechal yakarna, hod lo mechal yakarna, kamash malam. It's referring to two different types of shen. One is a shen which is mechal yakarna, when the keren here is not a horn. Keren is the principle. When the principle is destroyed, Yoshim Klayab destroyed. So one type of shen is when the thing itself is utterly and completely devastated and destroyed. The other one is lo mechal yakarna.
What does that mean?
Devastated?
No.
Demolished? Destroyed?
Does that mean if I have an apple, I don't completely ate the apple? Or does that mean it ate, like,
a tree?
Not the tree, so, but like enough to, like, therefore, there's no more apples grow.
Right. So, l'chora, it should mean both. It depends how we look at it. But we'll have to see Rashi and Tosos. But again, right, so the Gemara tells us, right, so what's the Havamina? I would have said one Bazek is talking about Shen, which is a complete destruction, one is talking about Shen, where it's an incomplete destruction. We need to define now what those terms are. Good? Good. Says Rashi HaKadosh. Dirasu Idi V'Idi. Right, this and that. What's this and that referring to? Rashi says, Vishilach Ubir. The two words in the Pasuk, I may slip and refer to them as the two Pesukim, but I mean the two words in the Pasuk. Right, Vishilach Ubir, the two words that were darshaning in that Pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim. Tarvayu Hashem. Both of them are talking about Shen. Vishilach Asalichiyuve Vishilach is coming to say that you are obligated to pay. Hecha delo kal yakarna. When the keren, the principle, is not destroyed. Dimashma, okay, there's that little letter on the side that says to take out that word either way. Kigon, what's the case? She'achla aruga v'sofo lachzor v'litzmoach. Avalo kitchila. She'achla aruga. She'achla aruga v'sofo lachzor v'litzmoach. Aval lo kitchila. It ate a row, a patch, presumably of some sort of vegetables or fruits or the like, and it will grow back again, but not as it did at the beginning. Right? Qualitatively, something about the fact that the animal ate the stuff, maybe it ate it too early, I don't really know the science behind agriculture, but something about the way that the animal ate it affects the future crops, that it will still grow back, but it will be inferior. That is the case of lo mechal yakarna. Mechal yakarna is hecha. We'll explain this all in a moment, hopefully. Ubiar, the second word in the pasuk, haynu hecha demechal demash ubiar shemivayer legamrei. That is talking about when it is completely destroyed. So we need to understand what the distinction is, and why would I have thought to make this distinction? Again, if this is a real havamina that I need to have a pasuk and not to come along and tell me that it's not the case. That's why I need the pasuk in. I need to have another. So it has to be that this is a real havamina, and therefore we need to understand it. So mechal yakarna is the most straightforward, right? If it's damaged with the teeth and it's completely destroyed, obviously I have to pay for it. The chiddush here seems to be that I would have had, again, if there was only one word in this pasuk, just think about it from this perspective for a second. If there only appeared either Vishilach or Ubir in the Pasuk, not both words, then according to what the Gemara is saying right now, I at least would have had a Hava Amina, right? That there is no Chiv at all on Lo Mechal Yakarna, because if there's only one word, then what would it be referring to? Shein de Mechal Yakarna. Right? Is it really possible that I would have a Hava Amina? That if my animal damages, but not does not damage completely, that I don't have to pay at all? It's hard to understand, right?
That's okay.
You still ate it. Let's try to put it again the simple pshat, again, maybe you guys will tell me a different pshat in Rashi. Simple pshat in Rashi, we're talking about a situation like this. Right? Simple pshat is that we're talking about, you know, you'll correct me if my metzius is wrong. Normally, if you have wheat growing in the field, right, and you harvest the wheat, I assume you cut it down to the bottom, and then it grows back the next year. Right? I don't think they plant new wheat every year. Is that true? Nobody knows? Fine. Let's try it. This one I know is true. I just thought it was a little bit easier with the wheat. Let's assume that you have a strawberry patch. Right? Strawberries, if you pick the strawberry, right, they will grow back the next year.
Yeah.
I'm 90% sure.
I'm
pretty sure that that's true.
The other 10% got lost in the wheat field.
Exactly. But do vegetables not go back from year to year? Like cucumbers, they go back every year? Tomatoes, those kind of things?
I think you replant them.
You replant them?
Yeah, I used to grow cucumbers. You replant them because they die.
Really?
They're not
do they grow twice in one season?
Usually just has one flower and then it's done and dies off.
Okay, based on this, I really don't know much. Let's pretend.
Let's pretend.
Let's take the wheat for now. Let's pretend that the way wheat works, and Google will potentially correct us in a moment, but you cut down, you take your sickle and you cut down your wheat. And now you have your wheat. Now, the next season, or later that season, the wheat grows up again, and then when it becomes full size again, you cut it down again, and you have your wheat. Right? Oh. So the distinction here seems to be, if it eats the wheat in a similar way to the way I would have cut it, and it leaves the base of the wheat in the ground, so then it ate the wheat that was there, but it's going to grow back next year. That's lo mechal yekarna. Right? Because the principle, meaning the root of the wheat that can grow back the next year, is still present. It's still there. But
I googled it, it's even more confusing now.
Okay, so we're going to pretend this for now. Nobody should pass me any agricultural shadow based on this. It's definitely true of trees. It's harder to give an example. Oh, I have one. I'm good. Blueberries grow on a bush. Bushes definitely stay from year to year. The question whether there's orla, no orla, whatever. We can discuss that at a different time. I'll tell you an orla story quickly. I was, not that kind of orla.
What?
No. There's fruit in the tree.
It's just a funny statement. Just like,
oh, right, you guys don't have like orla story that happened? So, I was sitting once at a dinner in Shul.
Why did you say not that kind of orla? I mean, I know, but now you made it even more funny.
I have no one knows what's happening.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Back to the story quickly. I was sitting eating dinner with a bunch of friends at a yeshiva dinner, and one of the rabbinim walks by and looks at the table and says, "Maza." And I said, "Papaya." And he goes, "Ze'orla." And he walks away. So I thought maybe this is like one of those, like, he has like Ruach HaKodesh, and he knows that like this papaya tree that he came from was, you know, in the first 3 years, and it was orla. So I walked over to him and I said, "How do you know that it's orla?" So he said, "All papaya is orla." So I said, "What on earth are you talking about?" What?
Well, that's like you can't even
know. No. So what he said is that the way the papaya tree grows is that the tree kind of falls apart each year. Similar to a banana, not as much as a banana, because the banana actually turns into a barbary adama because of it. The papaya, more of the tree remains. Apparently, it's a suffix whether enough of the tree remains that it's considered to be continuous years of fruit, or if each year is the first year of fruit. Based on that, in Eretz Yisrael, the din is as suffik orla is exerus hakasa, the din of sefes kiddushin. As suffik orla is aser in Eretz Yisrael, but mutter in chutz la'aretz. So apparently, is what he said at least, in Eretz Yisrael you can't get papaya with the hasher. because they're choshesh that it's orla. But you can get papaya with it. I was in Chutzar.
What if you bring
it? I was in Chutzar at the time. This was a
what if you bring it to Israel?
Yeah, what if you bring
Israel? No, that would be fine. No,
Israel,
it has to
Israel,
grow.
Israel doesn't even grow.
That could be like the best.
Maybe that's why they don't have
papayas. Oh, that's the best business of all. Just
start bringing papayas. I don't think it changes that.
I don't think papayas are worth the trouble.
I don't really eat papaya. Okay, back to where we are. I don't know how we got here. So, again, so what's the Mechaya Karna? Back to the range. What's the Mechaya Karna? So presumably, again, the way Rashi is explaining it, the Mechaya Karna means that the shore comes along and it eats the wheat stalk in the same way that I would have cut it down. So it's going to grow back next time. And apparently, at the point that it ate it, it was too early, we'll call it, to cut it down. And therefore, it's damaging to the future growth. And when it grows back next time, it's not going to go back as good as last time. Therefore, you cause a loss. That's what Rashi says. No? Yes? Yes, that's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi seems to say is Lo Mechaya Karna. Sorry, coming from Ark Chasna? Okay, that's Lo Mechaya Karna. That's Lo Mechaya Karna. Right? And Mechaya, so what would Mechaya Karna be? In that same... Oh, actually, we're at the blueberries. Oh, sorry, let's do the wheat for a second. At the blueberries. So if it comes and it eats the blueberries off of the bush, but it doesn't destroy the bush itself, but it picked it off, let's say, too early, so now when it grows back, it's not going to grow back as good. That's Rashi's case of Lo Mechaya Karna. But if it comes and this strong ox, you know, is pulling on the blueberries and goes, and the whole bush comes out of the ground, it's never going to grow back again. That is Mechaya Karna. That is Mechaya Karna. That seems to be the distinction that Rashi is drawing, right? What's the obvious question on Rashi?
All you have to do is write Lo Mechaya Karna, and we understand Mechaya Karna. It's so damaging.
That's a fancy question. Right? On this case that Rashi gives, what's the obvious question? What about the damage to the blueberries? These blueberries, the guy could have come along and picked the blueberries. That damage, which is destruction forever. Why are we looking at it from the perspective of the bush, that the bush is not destroyed, it's just diminished a little bit. What about these fruits? These fruits were consumed by my ox, my shore, and now this guy can't have them anymore. I caused, let's say there was, you know, $25 worth of blueberries on the bush. That's gone now. Isn't he obligated to pay for that? No?
But what about the question? If you're saying that it would imply that if only had one of them, then...
We'll answer that question also.
Well, that's also like a question of the theoretical thing. Right?
Oh, we need to understand it still. I'll quickly answer that question. And then we'll come back to this question, because it might get more confusing if we don't take care of that question right now. Right? I asked a few moments ago, and then we'll get back to this question on Rashi. Sorry, it's a little confusing, but hold cup. You can do this. The question I asked was if it sounds like if we only had one pasuk. Right? I would say that it's only referring to Shen de Mechaya Karna, where it's destroyed completely. Because that's the one that's the less of a chiddush. And therefore, it would potentially be that there's a Hava Amina, that you wouldn't be chayiv for Lo Mechaya Karna at all. So the Chazon Ish asks this question. He doesn't understand it. So the Chazon Ish says that obviously that can't be true. Obviously, I can't be sure. No, not the other way doesn't help either.
Yeah, because it's a pile of homer, right? If you defy it, it's not going to be destroyed.
So that has to do with the end of Rashi. But the end of Rashi was saying, well, that's not a good answer. Because then we would just say that it's referring to the homer one, to the column, to the other one. When we get to the end of Rashi, we'll deal with that. He answers very simply. It's actually very similar to the Briskaro that we said yesterday. If we only had one pasuk, we never would have said that Lo Mechaya Karna is not chayiv at all. Obviously, it's chayiv. obviously it's chayiv. You know how you know obviously it's chayiv? Just take the tzad hashava in the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah, basically at the end, told us that anything which is damaging, you're responsible for it, and it's your responsibility, shmiras and alecha, you're chayiv to pay, so obviously you're going to have to pay. Do you know what we would have said if we only had one pasuk? We would have said, it does not get the unique characteristics of shame. That's what would have happened. Meaning, even according to this Hava Amina, maybe we would not have said that you're not chayiv at all, but we would have said any unique halakha which exists by shame, this is not shame. I is very similar to Mechalik. No, maybe shame has to be Mechalik Karmic. So what is it? It's general damage. It's general damage, very similar to the briskero that we saw yesterday.
From what? What category?
I don't know. I don't know. But it would be part of the general nizikin.
So you're saying what would be kiyotzi that had no shame?
Exactly. It would make again. That would be a good question. Would that be a toldo not kiyotzi ben? That's already too theoretical because it's not practical. But that's what he says. So he says no. There never would have been a hava mina. There never would have been a hava mina. We went out to bed. Well, it just wouldn't have been shame. Fine. Put that aside. Well, let's get back to Rashi. So again, Rashi told us that what's the difference between Mechal Yekarna and Lo Mechal Yekarna. So Rashi said that the difference is whether it's Lo Mechal Yekarna is when the stuff was consumed, but it was it's going to grow back, but not going to grow back as before. So you understand why is Rashi not concerned about the fruit that was actually consumed? And then the second question is why is right, and what would be the din if it was consumed and would grow back as it was before? Why did Rashi throw those extra words and it's going to grow back worse than it was before? And if that wasn't true?
Well, it's probably one answer.
Because then it's worse? If it grows back the way it was, then it's worse than if it grows back deficiently?
That's like you lost one thing.
It's hard to believe that, right? It's as far as hapucha. Yeah.
Maybe the reason that he doesn't bring up Yitai for the actual thing that you ate,
yeah,
is like bitol bero or something, like bitol the future.
Bitol bero.
I don't know if that's the thing. Is that the thing that could be the case? Like, there's going to be so much more future vegetation or whatever. So like, okay, it's like sort of like we like look past the little thing.
So let's try this direction. Let's hold on to it for a second. So Tosfos, let's look at Tosfos. Tosfos basically asks this question on Rashi. Right, let's look inside Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Ha, the lo mechal yekarna perish hakuntres shachas sheasir litzmoach aval lo ketchila." So Rashi actually, in our version, does not have the word shachas. What is shachas? What? Stalks. It means basically shachas is usually used in the Gemara as being something which is growing from the ground that's not ready to be harvested yet. It's more like the junky stuff. Right, so it's shachas, which is gonna go, so which is gonna in the future grow, but well, now that it's being, now that it was consumed, so it's not gonna grow as it did beforehand.
How
do you know that's gonna happen? So I guess when you have shachas growing, that's why I was sort of trying to anticipate how the wheat happens. What it sounds like from Tosfos is that when the wheat grows, there's a certain phase of wheat that you have to sort of let it grow out.
Cause damage by not.
Then you get rid of it at the right time, and then next year's or the next crop will grow better. If you cut that too early, then it will have a negative impact. That's what it's, that's why it was putting Rashi and Tosfos' agricultural knowledge together that came to my agricultural knowledge. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. So it says Tosfos, I don't understand. V'ham chaya karna. But isn't this case when the animal eats the stalks a case of mechalya karma when it's destroying it completely? Shagam habaylim hayu yecholim liktzor. Whatever benefit the animal got, isn't that a lost benefit to the owner? Meaning, at whatever point the owner should have cut, was going to cut it down. Now, the owner can't cut it down because it doesn't exist anymore because the animal took it. So when it comes to those animals, or if you take it in our case, when it comes to those blueberries that were in that bush, right, he seems to be asking our question. Those blueberries have been destroyed.
No.
So how is it not, you can disagree in a moment, how is it not going to be a complete destruction of the blueberries for which you have to pay the damage of the shore? I understand from the perspective of the bush, it's not a complete destruction. But what about the destruction of the fruit that is a complete destruction?
No.
It's no what?
It's the opposite, because yes.
What's the opposite?
The plus is the paper when he did. So what's the matter if I saw my fruit worker? Now he's whatever it is, however much damage it caused. And since in the plus, we know that for whatever this is, whatever category it falls,
right,
that he has to pay for whatever damage he did. So
right.
Rashi says in the pasuk, if there's one cell of damage, he has to pay one cell of this field. Okay. So why is it a matter of the fruit? It's only a matter of the bush, because if we're talking about Rashi says that no, it's the future crop that's going to be affected as well. That's what's problematic. The fruit that he ate, he has to pay for. The future crops, though, like if now every single year this bush has been damaged because the cow, I carefully
picked okay.
The cow just goes and starts.
Shneur Zalman is saying a big fish. He's suggesting a big fish. He's saying that Rashi, even though he never said it, Rashi obviously meant you're paying for the shabbos. Where you ate. You are paying for that. That is shame, which is mechal yikarna. The chiddush of Rashi is that when there are two damages that take place, when that second damage is lo mechal yikarna, you would not have to pay for that. Right?
In the Pasuk, which is that there's trampling and there's eating. So what's the trampling? The trampling is the fact that, he went and he destroyed the crop. So like if you have a bush that's been growing for 10 years and now a cow comes and instead of carefully picking it, he just goes and just like eats half the bush and now it's damaged, then it's going to take a while for it to be producing the same amount of fruit. That's trampling. Then there's eating, which that whatever he ate, that's the fruit that he ate. So it's two.
But we're within eating and we're within shame.
We're only talking about shame.
You were better off before you said that. Let's stop before that. That's one approach. Again, whenever, methodologically speaking for a second, whenever Tosfos asks a question like this, which is an obvious problem with Rashi, we have to assume that Rashi has an answer for it. Right? Because Rashi was, certainly smarter than us, and we asked the question, and presumably close to as smart as Tosfos. And this question is very, very obvious. So what are Rashi and Tosfos disagreeing about here? We didn't even see Tosfos' shot yet.
I'm confused in the Gemara itself. When we said the Havamina would have been...
Forget about that for a second. Let's just take the Gemara on the surface again. The Gemara on the surface is just telling us one thing. The Gemara says that the Brisa just told us that to know that Vishilach means regel, you need a pasuk in Nah. You can't learn it out itself. So the Gemara wants to know, why do I need a pasuk in Nah? Isn't that the obvious reading of the pasuk? So the Gemara says, no. If I wouldn't have had the pasuk in Nah, I would have said that the two words in that pasuk that are referring to actions of damage are both referring to Shem. One is Shem, which is Mechal Yikarna, one which is Shem, which is Lo Mechal Yikarna.
What does that mean? Even if it's not Mechal Yikarna,
in both cases, yes.
But so Kamash Malan, that we don't pay for half?
No. Kamash Malan, the pasuk enough, that it's referring to, that this is referring to regel, and the other pasuk is referring to all types of shem.
It's something we're learning now theoretically.
Correct. It's a half of it.
Oh, it's a
sin.
What?
Is it a din?
Well, depending on how you understand the half of it, it might affect the real din.
So we have.
Because if Rashi is not willing to accept that you paid a certain thing in a Havamina, that must mean that somewhere within his realm of understanding of Nezikin, there's a case that he doesn't think is included. So it's very important to understand the scope of the Havamina.
Well, the Maskana, I'm saying, at the end of the day, the shame, even though it said we would have thought it's from two sources, really from one, but it comes
correct
from both.
Yes.
And both are Chaya.
Yes.
So that I don't get the question anymore. Meaning,
Rashi's case is problematic. Rashi explained to us that when the Hava Amina was, that Shein, which is not Mechayev currently, you needed a separate pasuk, right, to say that you're Chayev. The Gemara says that there's one pasuk teaches us that it's when it's full destruction, one when it's partial destruction. Let's just use those terms for now, right? So Rashi's description of the case of partial destruction seems to be a case of full destruction. That's the question. Rashi's, again, I don't mean it this way, but just to be blunt, Rashi's pshat is bad. Rashi's pshat, the way he's saying it, makes no sense. Rashi told us that if an animal eats the blueberries and partially destroys the bush, that's a case of partial destruction.
He's basing on the bush, not on the berries.
So the question is, why did Rashi not think you had to pay for the blueberries?
Didn't see you on the pay.
Oh, so that's what Sher Zalman wants to say.
Why are you assuming that just because it doesn't specifically say you have to?
Well, because a yes, meaning Rashi told us the case. It sounds like in this case you would not have to pay.
The
right? Blueberries. He doesn't tell us for what.
You pay something for them.
That's the Kamash Malan, is that you would. But again, until he explained it, it's the simple reading.
Yeah.
Again, Rashi is trying to tell us, meaning, why didn't Rashi, if this is the case, why didn't Rashi explain it to us as a case where the animal ate the bush without there being any fruits on it, but in a destructive way that affects the future crops? So maybe tell me there is no Metzius, I have no idea. But again, if Rashi meant, and again, it could be the answer is that Rashi just was not speaking so, specifically, and that's the answer. But again, we would have thought, and again, and nobody, even you guys this morning, suggested that Rashi, when I explained to you guys the case, it may be a good answer, but I don't think it's the simplest reading of Rashi, thought that Rashi was saying you have to pay for the blueberries. The simple thing that Rashi would have said is, I would have said in this case, if I was Rashi and I decided to use this case, I would have said, Hecha delo kaya karna kigon she'achla aruga v'sofa lasar v'litzmoch avalo kitzchila. Dehava kaya karna al ha'aruga avalo mechaya karna al ha'this. I would have made a distinction and said, don't think that the kaya karna is on what he ate. That obviously you have to pay for. But the low high karna is on the other part. If Rashi was writing it clearly, I would expect. Now you'll tell me. It's so obvious that that's the case. Rashi didn't tell us.
So I would say according to Rashi Lachora, would you say that low kali karna, even though it's talking about the bush, forget the food for a second, you still have to pay for it because it wasn't going to grow back like lechachila. So you caused some damage, yeah?
Yeah.
So you still pay for that.
It sounds like that's all you're paying
but
for.
But you're saying that...
No. That's what it sounds like. The simplest reading, that's a Tosos Rav Rashi also.
It sounds like he's saying that you would pay for your no, like it's not even like, of course, like, obvious that you're paying for the fruit. But what you're saying is that Rashi's like...
He doesn't understand Rashi. The Kasha! What Tosos is Kasha and Rashi? Tosos is not just... What? I didn't say it. Yeah, we had it.
What you're saying is that there obviously has to be we have to figure out what Rashi's saying. Like, is Rashi trying to say something new that's not in the Sikkim? He's trying to what's he? So
okay, I'm willing to accept what you're suggesting as an answer to Tosa's question, but I don't think that it's that overwhelming that we should look at Tosos that he's crazy for asking this question.
No, he's not crazy for asking.
Good, that's all I'm trying to. So we're on the same page. So let's try to do this methodically. Yeah.
Would you assume based on Rashi that if there was actually no damage when it grew back, that you would actually not pay for anything?
That's what it sounds like from Rashi. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. That's difficult.
I mean, that can't be because obviously he's distinguishing as the type of damage.
Rashi also knew his crops. We don't know our crops.
That's all fine. But whether you know crops or not doesn't really affect. Okay. I don't want to get. I want to make sure. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. We're all on the same page here. Okay. Rashi said that lo mechal yatarna means that the animal ate the stuff, destroyed the stuff, but the effects on the bush are not going to be long term, except that it's going to diminish it. Tosfos asks on Rashi, I don't understand how you can say that's the case of lo mechal yatarna, because the stuff which has been lost, the owner could have cut it down and taken it for himself. So he's obviously taking lots of money on the blueberries. That's Tosfos' kasha on Rashi. One potential answer for Rashi is what the gentlemen over there are suggesting, is that Rashi is saying that there are two damages taking place in this case. One of the damages is mechal yakarna, and one of the damages is not mechal yakarna. When it comes to the one that is mechal yakarna, when it comes to the actual destruction of the fruit, of course he has to pay. Of course he has to pay. The chiddush that Rashi is saying is that I would have thought on the partial damage of the future crops, maybe you don't have to pay. Kamash malon the pasuk that you do have to pay. That's one shot, one potential shot in Rashi. Well, now, what's interesting?
So long as there's damage, and then it won't go back.
He says that.
Well, we're not
talking. No, and if that's and that and then you understand why it has to be that it's worse in the future. Because if it's not worse in the future, then the only damage was the fruit, and that you're paying for.
So if we're not talking about this theoretical situation of where it's shen, really two types of shen.
Yeah.
And how does Rashi interpret the pasuk? Like what are the types of damages going on? Is that there's eating and trampling, or there's like trampling over and then there's actually eating the crops.
Okay.
So back to what I was saying before, that if we now transfer that over to like now we're talking about shen though, and there's a theoretical case,
right.
But there's still two damages, and one is partial damage and one is whole damage, and one is talking about this partial damage,
right.
And one's talking about the whole damage of the bush.
Okay.
So why can't we say what I said before?
I just said
what I said before, that even if we're holding by Rashi, the original Pshat of the Pasuk that we were saying, we're still talking about Shiel is Redo, that we could still say, no, the partial damage is the damage you do to the bush. And say, besides talking about trampling over and eating, if the damage that you do to the bush, and the whole damage, what you do to the
We're not disagreeing.
I'm just expanding.
Okay, fine. So we're good. Again,
I'm not sure.
Again, Tosfos gives a different shot. Tosfos says, Ela yesh lomar shetinfa peres lahana asa. That tinfa peras lanasa. What's tinfa peras lanasa? It rolls in the fruit in order to probably cool itself down, something to enjoy itself. And that's the case of lo mechal yakarna. So at least two interesting points. First of all, you can understand what that case is. And second of all, you see that Tosfos wasn't even willing to accept your case as the reading of our Gemara. Meaning, he could have assumed that's not what Rashi meant and said that on his own, but Tosfos isn't willing to accept that at all. Which is fine.
He's still saying the two separate whole parts. He still acknowledges that there's also a damage eating, right? It's not just this rolling around.
He's saying, the damage of eating, whatever is eaten, is full destruction. There's no such thing as partial damage when you are eating. Whatever you have eaten is now destroyed. That's lo mechal yakarna. Apparently, we have to understand what the metzias is. We have to understand what the metzias is. But apparently, you don't. When the animal does this, it doesn't destroy the fruit. If it destroyed the fruit, then that's kal yakarna. So that's the question. So what does Tosfos mean? When Tosfos says the case is that you roll the animal's rolling in the fruit, if it rolled in the fruit, it smushed it all and destroyed it, that's kal yakarna, especially according to Tosfos, who's viewing any little bit of eating of something that takes place as mechal yakarna. So what is Tosfos saying the case is? Yeah.
Is it a total? Because it's not actually like the Tosfos says.
So that's what he deals with in the end of Tosos. At the end of Tosos, well, just parenthetically, just for a second, Tosos is basically saying, well, wouldn't that be a tolda? You're not using your mouth or anything else. And Tosos basically says, but since that would be the interpretation of the pasuk, so then it could potentially be an av, even though it's not. We'll talk about it in a second. But yeah, that's what the end of Tosos deals with. But first, before we get to understanding more about the machlokes between Rashi and Tosos, so how is Tosos learning the pshat? Because again, if Tosos is saying, and this seems to be Tosos's perspective, we're not looking at the bush or the future crops. Whatever the animal destroyed, the animal should pay for it. If that caused damage, the animal should pay. If it didn't cause any damage, and it was hefker or whatever else, then you don't pay. But we're not making all these fancy calculations. Whatever that is, that's Mechaya Karna. Lo Mechaya Karna is completely different. Lo Mechaya Karna is the animal rolling in the fruits. So now, what's that case? If the animal's rolling in the fruits, and I have squished tomatoes everywhere, so those tomatoes have been destroyed. So what's the case according to Tosos? So the Netziv suggests, the Netziv suggests that, again, you have to figure out, maybe it's talking about melons or something like that are harder, that it wouldn't have destroyed it, but it didn't destroy it. But because it was tinfa and rolled around in it, now everything is dirty and has to be washed and has to be cleaned. So there's a tirpa, there's a trouble above, which again is potentially money related also. It's going to cost some money, which now the Balabai says they didn't. Is there a destruction? There's no destruction. Nothing's been destroyed. But because the animal rolled in these fruits, if he wants to now bring his, you know, watermelons to the market, they're going to have to be rinsed off first. You can't bring a watermelon that smells like cow and hope people are going to buy it. It's not going to happen. So they have to be cleaned off. That's the case of Lo Mechaya Karna. It's considered to be close to shame because it's lehana asa. It's for its enjoyment. That's why it was rolling in. It can't be that it destroyed it completely, because if it destroyed it completely, that's Mechaya Karna. That's the other case. And then obviously you have to pay. So it has to be did not destroy it. It's not Mechaya Karna. So then what damage did it cause at all? So the Netziv suggests that the damage is the inconvenience of the person now having to clean it off. There are problems potentially with that. Maybe that's why Rashi wouldn't like that shot. Again, that's more indirect damage. It's not, you know, it's an indirect loss, which is going. It's an indirect damage because the damage is the loss of the tier of the person. It's not damage of the fruit. The fruit itself has not been damaged because it's now dirty. The damage is the fact that it's going to take me my time, which is valuable, or my water, which is valuable, to clean it off. So it's the tirfa. And generally, when it comes to damages, indirect damage, you do not have the same liability for. So maybe, if that's the pshat in Tosos, maybe that's what part of what Rashi didn't like about Tosos. On the other hand, Tosos seems to be bothered within Rashi about his general approach to Mechaya Karna. Okay, so that's again that's one approach to understanding Rashi and Tosos. There's perhaps one other approach to be able to answer Tosos' question according to Rashi. Assuming that Rashi is not coming along to tell us that it's obvious that you're chayiv to pay for the fruit, which is what the gentlemen over there were suggesting. If Rashi is not saying that, then the other potential possibility is that maybe we're talking about a situation in which whatever this shaka stuff that was growing, Rashi is going to say, is not something that anybody ever would have eaten. Meaning, The Bialim, it's not that the Bialim was growing, if the owner, if they would have waited longer, he was going to cut down these stalks and now use the stalks as food. There was no value to him at all in these stalks because they were supposed to just, I don't know, for lack of a better term, they were supposed to grow out. And by growing out, that was going to allow that in the future, the other crops would grow better. Would grow better. But he wasn't planning on, maybe he wasn't planning on doing it at all. So the owner wasn't planning on doing it at all, therefore, it has no value. If it has no value, then who cares? It's not Mechalia Karma. Mechalia Karma is only significant to us if you destroy something of value. But if you don't destroy something of value, so then the only question is, oh, well, do I look at what the effects are? In terms of what the long-term effects are, there was an effect because your animal ate from my shatnas because it's going to affect next year's crop. But not totally. It was total destruction, so that's the destruction of something valuable. Because inherent and latent in my wheat was the potential for next year. But if it's only going to damage the quality of next year, so that's no machayah karma. That's one, that would be a potential way of understanding Rashi. Tosfos, though.
Rashi or Tosfos?
That would be an answer for Rashi and Tosfos' question. You would have to assume that, again, the fact that Tosfos is saying, yeah, this is a general, when Tosfos quotes Rashi differently than Rashi, you kind of have to assume that there was another year so that Rashi that exists. We don't have a contradiction to that in our Rashi. We just don't have that detail. We just have that he ate in the Aruga.
I was going to say, maybe Aruga is the same thing.
So that's what you have to say. You could say that Aruga is the same thing, or again, once we have this, maybe there was another version of Rashi, that's what Rashi said. This would be an answer. Again, Tosfos is obviously still not learning this way, but this would be an answer to Tosfos' question on Rashi. And we're talking about a unique case where it didn't have any value to the Bialim at all. And therefore, if you learn like that, also again, what both answers in Rashi are trying to accomplish, what you guys are saying, what I'm suggesting now. What both of them are trying to accomplish is that we're not actually going to be willing to entertain the Havamina that if the animal completely destroys the fruit, then you don't have to pay for it. Which is what was bothering Tosfos. That Havamina can't exist. So that seems to be the approaches to Rashi. Tosfos l'chora would say that notwithstanding all of that, we look at whatever damage you cause is a complete destruction of that. So even in terms of future crops, Tosfos would say, if you destroy that amount in the future, that's complete destruction of that. And that's why Tosfos has to come on to his approach of Tinta Peros, which has its own weakness. A, the point that you mentioned, which I don't want to get into now, but it could be getting confusing, about that it's not as similar to the Av. And then also, it's a hard case to come up with the Metzias. Most cases of Tinta Peros, you would assume, actually totally destroys it. But if it totally destroys it, he hasn't answered this question yet. And if you want to learn like the Netziv, that it made it dirty, and therefore I'm going to have to clean it, so that's more of an indirect damage. That's, there's a weakness in Tosfos as a try to solve it. Obviously, Tosfos thought that was still better than Rashi's understanding of Mechalia Karna. Okay, everybody? A little confusing, but I think in the end we put it back together. It's a fundamental machlokas Rashi Tosfos, which comes up anytime you read anything on Bava Kama. But I think this is at least an approach to trying to deal with it. Okay, shkoyach.